week of greatness brought it again for the fifth year.
How is it possible it keeps getting better even after all these years?
Kind of makes you wonder what Foot Locker's up to.
You know, that's an unfortunate mindset you got there.
Tom Brady.
Just because something's great year after year doesn't mean anything's going on. Why can't some things just be great?
Just a question.
It starts with questions, and then questions turn into assumptions, and then assumptions turn into vacations. So why would you punish the week of greatness for something that never even happened? I lost my appetite.
All right, we are back. The Malcolm Go Podcast, November 16th, 2016. That was Tom Brady's greatest acting work in his new Foot Locker commercial. With me today is Vince drinking a dram of my finest Dewar's white label. That's an aged white label, though. That's not your average run-of-the-mill white label.
It's been in there a while.
It's been in there a while. So I figured we'd get into this. I'm not a happy camper this week. I'm calling this the disaster at Gillette. Disaster. The ironic loss to the Seattle Seahawks at the goal line by the hands of, I don't know what, I'm guessing a play call or just a ton of mistakes. Just God's ironic move for the Patriots to lose at the goal line against Seattle. But at least it wasn't a game that really mattered. An NFC game, mid-season, coming off a bye, but I mean, it still hurt. It was not a fun experience to watch. There was 12s that were there. And they were the worst. There was a 12 flag. I saw a couple of them get ripped down. But, of course, they were courteous. Of course,
very, very courteous.
Courteous fans, I'll tell you right now. The nicest fans in all the world with the greenest hair and the flags that they wear like capes. There's no shame in losing to Seattle. It's just the way they lost that was concerning for me. They were outplayed and outcoached at home after a bye versus a team that was on a short week coming across the country. It was a team that just wanted it more. And like I said last week, it was a revenge factor. Didn't you think, Vince?
I don't think it's a revenge factor as much. And I know the statistics don't back this up, but a team like Seattle, I don't buy too much into them flying across the country. Maybe the short week a little bit, but I mean, come on.
No,
they're,
I don't
think a great team.
Yeah, I think they have very similar mindset that the Patriots have, is where they play the best when their backs are up against the wall. So Seattle was, I don't know, they came over here, they came ready to play. It was obvious the Patriots did not come ready to play. I mean, Seattle out-coached, out-schemed the Patriots. I mean, they basically, to me, it didn't look like they were running a Seattle offense anymore. They were running a spread attack like a Patriots offense. And the Patriots defense looked like they were confused and didn't know how to defend it.
It was concerning to watch the D, but keep in mind, it wasn't a good game. We were in it the whole time. I know. I still thought we were going
to
win it. I thought we were going to see something great.
I thought
we were going to overtime. I thought we were going to win it overtime.
We will say that is, I mean, without a doubt, the best defense in the NFL they faced. And they put up 400 yards, 24 points, could have been more points. Should have been 31 at a minimum. Could have been 34, 38 had the mistakes not piled up on the Patriots. The defense, invisible again, and man and zone. I mean, the secondary was not on the same page whatsoever throughout this game. They were being beat by, the worst was being beat by the running back coming out of the backfield by C.J. Procise, a guy that I don't know if he's had more than 10 carries this season.
I don't like watching a Notre Dame running back.
No. You're wearing a Notre Dame shirt right now.
I mean, I know.
Jonas Gray.
It's a nice shirt, but I'm not a
not a huge Irish fan.
No.
It's concerning that they were beaten, you know, pretty handily by a scheme attack that looked like the Patriots offense. They were running it looked like 2003 era Patriots where you got really nobody's. Doug Baldwin is a good route runner, but he's not Randy Moss, right? He's not even like Julian Edelman quick. He runs the routes that he's supposed to run and somehow just gets open. I mean, he uses things, as we saw in the Super Bowl, he'll use the ref as a pick. He's a smart player.
I like that move.
Yeah, he's a smart player. He just, I don't know, him and Russell Wilson have that weird Brady, Deion Branch, Wes Welker, Edelman connection. They have that weird thing where it just the chemistry that just works. And he was getting open all night. It seems like some of the defensive backs thought that they were playing zone and some man. They weren't switching at all. I mean, you know, just like in every zone, you're supposed to switch off to the guy when he crosses your face, right? So you, Doug Baldwin's crossing your face. In an example, he's crossing Logan Ryan's face on the halftime touchdown right before halftime, which was unbelievable. I mean, at home, you're letting this happen. You have Doug Baldwin running across your face. Logan Ryan has him. He comes all the way across to Patrick Chung's corner of the field, releases him. Patrick Chung's 10 yards in front of him, doesn't notice. And Doug Baldwin's just standing in the at the goal line.
Running back and forth. Yeah. Nobody, I could have ran all day.
Nobody even knew he was there. I could have ran down from my seat and caught the ball. No one had any idea. No, the switches weren't working.
It's so frustrating. I can't get it. I mean, be more aggressive. It's like the end of the half, and it's this. Okay, we just scored a touchdown. We'll let him march down the field and get a field goal. I mean, it looked like the thought was.
Yeah,
it's like we're just going to let them do that.
Even though Bill says it's bend but don't break, but they were this. Sitting there, I mean, they had a chance to stop them, but they don't contain. They were, like I said, I don't think the schemes were wrong or the calls were wrong. I think they was just poorly executed from front to back. I mean, they didn't keep contain on Russell Wilson. The linebackers couldn't cover. The defensive backs were fucked up in zone and man, so nothing was working. There wasn't any bright spot in that defense aside from maybe Trey Flowers having two sacks and coming in for Jabal Sheard. He was the only bright spot in that defense, I thought, all game. I didn't notice anybody else. I mean, and except for bad plays. I mean, yeah. I noticed Shea McClellan once again getting blown away by everyone. I mean, he's got to be the worst contract on the team.
Yeah.
And an absolute Belichick regret. CJ Procise is coming out of the backfield on third down where you knew he was going to be a passing threat. Shea McClellan would have him one-on-one. He'd run a quick right at Shea McClellan and then do a quick out and be wide open by 5 yards. I mean, McClellan couldn't even compete. I mean, what is this guy doing? He can't rush the passer. He can't compete in the passing game. I don't understand where he even fits on the team. Does he do anything in special teams?
I mean, what other options do we have?
Anybody. How about Barkevius Mingo?
That's the thing.
How about
I'm waiting for the moment all
wake
game.
Wake up, goddamn fucking, put Andre Tippett in.
I know.
It can't be that much worse.
Yeah. I'm looking for the, I was expecting a moment where Mingo would come out and kill somebody, and me and you would go crazy in 204.
It's unbelievable. I mean,
and it's just, no Mingo. Like
Belichick must have zero confidence that he can do the defense, that he can play any part of the defense. If they're playing so poorly that Shea McClellan is getting burnt, I mean, they're pulling Jabal Sheard, your best player on the team, best pass rusher out of the game. You're pulling, I mean, Landon Roberts is getting beat all over the place, and Barkevius Mingo can't even sniff the field. It's like, I mean, what did you trade for him for? Obviously, you value what he brings. I mean, he's a good special teams player, but the guy was the sixth pick in the draft. He can rush the passer. That was what he was. I mean, every scout in the planet was saying that he was schemed incorrectly. He was lined up incorrectly all over the place in Cleveland. You can't find a place for him. He's the exact build as Jamie Collins. He's the exact same build.
Yeah, he's not the same person though.
He's not the same person.
He's not even close to the same athlete. I don't think
they're pretty close.
What do you
like? Their numbers are very, very similar from combine. Maybe he doesn't have the recognition skills because he was a defensive lineman, defensive end in college rather than Jamie Collins where he played all over the place. But the guy is, they're both 6'4", 220 something, and just shredded and fast as hell.
What was his 40?
Fast. They're like 4'5". Him and Jamie Collins were lightning fast.
I gotta stop listening to the radio. These guys don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
We talk about it on the Malcolm Go pod, and that's where you get your info. I'm bringing it to you right here on episode 16, Malcolm Go, Barkevius Mingo, get in the fucking game. I'm calling Bill Belichick tonight. I can't stand it anymore. I'm sick of it.
Well, everybody else get is Linda Holiday. Everybody else is invisible. So what's the word on Van Noy? Is he just like
Van Noy's just
filling
too,
water bottles on the side?
He's too new, is all it is. Van Noy.
He's been here for 3 weeks.
Has it been three? I thought it was two. Did they traded for him before?
Before
they traded Collins. So yeah, so he's been here 3 weeks. One was a bye.
Awesome. Figure it out. Get in the playbook.
He's probably in the playbook, but he's just not ready to compete yet. Who knows? I'm sure he's going to take Shane McClellan's spot.
Jamie Collins was in Cleveland for 2 days before he...
Jamie Collins is the best player on the team already. He's fucking ridiculous. And
Cleveland's defensive playbook is just stop the other just guy.
Run at the ball. Do your best. Instead of do your job, do your best. It was a sad affair, and I'm sure Kyle Van Noy is going to take Shane McClellan's spot the second they make him active, because McClellan, like I said, is probably Belichick's. I'm not gonna say it's his worst free agent signing on defense, but it rivals Adelius Thomas and Tank Williams.
I can't believe you're a professional football player.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't look like one. This guy, I swear, he was billed as the next Mike Vrabel coming out of college. Everyone wanted him, but he went to Boise State. You can't. I have trouble finding any player.
People get high on the blue turf.
And they do. I don't understand. They're just who's that one kid? Doug Martin. He went to Boise State. He's pretty good.
Yeah.
Everyone else had a good start. I don't know if there's anybody else that's ever been good from there, even though they had a great team for like a decade or so. But since then, I haven't seen anything. And this fucking McClellan is just killing me. Pass rush, non-existent.
Very frustrating. Every single time. Send somebody.
Well, they're playing. Hit
him. Okay. Pull him. Push him. Do something.
Number one rule, right? Watch Bill Belichick anytime you're playing a mobile quarterback. Number one rule, contain the quarterback. So you know he's going to rush three, maybe four, and just stay outside and let, you know, maybe you get home, maybe you don't. But to get there against the worst offensive line, you know, arguably the worst offensive line in the NFL, and lose contain is what they were doing. I mean, these guys were losing contain, not moving.
You can't lose contain on. I mean, I guess maybe Wilson's been less mobile this year. So
you look fine to me.
Yeah, he looked great to me.
He was making plays with his feet all over the place. I mean, Trey Flowers, the only person that made any plays on the edge. Jabal Sheard had to get taken out of the game. He made so many mistakes. I was watching Matt Chatham's breakdown in the game, and I was wrong where I thought Jabal Sheard made a mistake. After they pulled him, right? So Jabal Sheard's lined up defensive end. Behind him is, I think it was Hightower. I wouldn't imagine it would be, but it might have been. Looked like him in his stance from the side. And he turns back to him right before the snap, says something, says, I'm going inside, you take outside. So Jabal Sheard crashes inside. Hightower, or whoever it was, doesn't go outside. He also goes inside because that was probably the play call. And they were making a switch. So whoever it was, Michael or Procyse, just ran up the outside for fucking 20 yards.
I don't know. I remember Michael one time. It was CJ Procyse running all over us all day, pissing me off.
Just miscommunications all over the place. Chris Long, invisible.
Didn't see him once, didn't hear him once.
He's got Harry Potter's invisibility cloak. Maybe you should just wear that fucking Edelman mask out there. That's the only thing he's done all year that's been worthwhile.
I saw him wearing the face mask. I didn't like it.
It's killing me.
He needs to be wearing no sleeves, nothing. That's what I want from him.
Why does he get that neck thing
on? He's a Pittsburgh guy. Come on, toughen up. Pittsburgh. Well, I mean, he's a...
What, he went to go to Virginia?
I think he probably grew up in Pittsburgh, no?
Oakland, or L.A., wherever. Where his dad played, right?
That's probably true.
His dad played for the Raiders. They couldn't contain at all. I mean, on so many third downs, they let Wilson off the hook, run outside, and create on his own. There was a third and nine, which would have been a pivotal stop. They let him get out of contain, and he makes a fucking bullet throw to Jimmy Graham, who made a great catch, but nobody to the outside. I mean, Wilson could have ran for 20 yards if he wanted to. That's the number one rule. I guess the biggest theme of this game was there was no communication, absolute just rust. As Ty Law says it, have some fucking pride in your defense. He goes on, if Ty Law's going on on shows and telling you to have pride, you know you're not bringing any emotion. I mean, anybody that's been involved with the Patriots, from player to personnel, is on Twitter right now telling you that they have no emotion, no pride. I don't think Jamie Collins brought the emotion.
I don't know. I think
who brought it?
I mean, I think it goes into your theory that you need some more bad dudes in the
Some fire.
Yeah, rougher guys.
Malcolm Butler brings some emotion. Alan Branch brings emotion. Who else? I don't see anybody else fucking screaming, throwing stuff.
Long would be that guy, but he's
Chris
just
Long did,
has not.
Does, but he doesn't get to the quarterback enough
not,
to
but
do
he's
it.
Not, but he's not doing, playing well enough.
You can't play well enough to fucking have any emotion to be excited about. There was a documentary, I can't remember. I think it was the 2009 season, you know, the 50 years of the AFC or the AFL, whatever. And I don't remember who it was, but it was the year in the Patriots was Bill Belichick. It was like their worst season in two decades, right? 2009. And Belichick, before the season, is doing the film review, and he's breaking it down, and like somebody had made a sack. I think it was Roosevelt Colvin. And he's going fucking nuts, right?
Roosevelt is the best name, by the way.
He's going fucking nuts. You know, he's punching at the air, doing fucking somersaults and all this shit. And he's like, that's awesome. You fucking made a huge play. Have some emotion. Yeah. Bring it. And that's nothing. You're not getting any of that this year. There's no emotion on this team.
We haven't had that many plays to celebrate. I mean, like you said about the turnovers, we're not getting them. We're not getting this. We're not getting big sacks. I mean, it's
unbelievable. There's no big plays in this.
It's boring to watch them play defense. You hope they get a stop.
At this point, they've been 11 guys standing there. Yeah. I don't want to be a Twitter egg who's fucking saying that they're the worst defense in the NFL because they're not. They play well enough when it counts and when it matters. They haven't played any top. And the first top tier quarterback they played was this week, and they got fucking shredded.
Yeah, it does suck though because the first few weeks were like, man, it's awesome to have a good defense again, and now it's just back. It's back to
2011, 2012 nightmares.
Brutal, hoping
Tom Brady fucking outscores you.
Third down, knowing that it's going to be a completion for
whatever
20
it is,
yards
exactly,
and it just drains.
And the defensive backs are the exact same as they were last year. It's no different. Who's missing from this defense that wasn't on the defense last year? Jamie Collins, that's it. Right? Who else is gone?
I mean, maybe Jamie Collins is better than we thought he was. I don't know.
I never said Jamie Collins wasn't good.
No, I know you said he was very good, but...
Jamie Collins is his best attribute. There was two, I think, was his best attribute was blitzing the A-gap. I don't think anybody in the NFL could do that better, timing-wise and fucking execution-wise, and covering running backs out of the backfield.
Yeah.
Two things they can't do anymore.
But a blitz up the A-gap can change the game. I mean, it'll blow up the stadium with a big stop or something.
Exactly.
And that happened against us. Blunt runs the ball into a wall, gets drilled. Then we got, what's his name, shaking his finger at the sidelines. It just shuts us down, and it took the energy out of the stadium.
Stadium, energy, a whole nother issue we'll get into afterwards. But
I want to talk about that, too. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was in my cups, but
we'll
I thought 204 was pretty good.
204 is lit, but I mean, I think it comes down to the lack of the rush, the lack of contain, poor execution, just a bad game all around. I think it was a bad game. For some reason, I just don't feel like the defense was in it. The offense had fucking tons of emotion, making plays all over the field against this great defense. Deep balls for a team that doesn't give up any deep balls. And, running on them, doing everything, imposing their will on them, really. I mean, in any other scenario, you'd think they'd win that game by fucking two touchdowns. 400 yards and 24 points.
I want to say I was really fired up about how Jules played and
Bennett.
Fucking like, love Bennett. I mean, there's a lot of energy, and then except for Jules coughing up that ball,
fucking mistake.
Which I haven't seen the replay of, but I heard people were talking about a challenge there, but
no challenge there. I saw it on the big screen.
I didn't see the replay.
He was standing straight up, and they punched him right up through his legs. There's no challenge there. So, I mean, it was poor play rather than schemes, what I guess I'm going to say. I mean, Logan Ryan and Chung just not switching, like I said. Jabal Sheard being pulled. Just miscommunication between the D-line, between the middle, between the linebackers, the D-line, and the fucking D-backs. Nobody had communication in this game. I don't know what it was, but, I mean, Hightower calls the plays. He knows the defense. He was there the whole game, played the whole time, and, I mean, nothing. Why was there so fucking blocked ears? Nobody knew what the fuck to do. I mean, I haven't seen enough of Seattle to know if that was their normal offense. I know it wasn't their normal offense 2 years ago in the Super Bowl when they were just mainly power a Marshawn Lynch power running team.
What's your favorite formation? Power eye.
Fucking power eye. Give the spike. When you hand it to Spike, hand it here.
Boom. I just... My concern is that not only was it a bad game, it just seemed like, where do we go from here? Because who's coming to help? Who's coming to make it better?
I don't think there's anybody. I think it just needs to be practiced, and it needs to be communicated better. This is still a good team, a good defense. It's a fucking top. It could be a top 10 defense. It's going to be a top 10 scoring defense, no matter how you look at it. I mean, it's going to be skewed because they're playing not great teams the rest of the way. They haven't played great teams the whole year or great quarterbacks. So this is probably, you're looking at the game where they gave up the most points probably already. So 31 is going to be probably the high point they gave up this whole year, unless somebody gets
31,
whatever.
What do I call 13? I'm an idiot.
Yeah. So this was their, I think this is their worst game you're going to see them play all season because there's just nobody else to play. I mean, you got the Dolphins once, you got the Jets twice who can't score, you got Baltimore who's got a decent enough offense, and then you got San Francisco this week, who stinks, and then you got the L.A. Rams,
oh,
who suck.
God. It's an unbelievable schedule.
It's not a great schedule. I mean, this is a fucking schedule that you, I mean, if you're hot all the way through, you could have ran through 16-0 pretty easily. Yeah.
It's concerning that we're not going to see a good team until second round of the playoffs, probably.
Second round. Probably fucking, I mean, I could see a scenario where you walk to the AFC Championship and have no issues.
And that's not a good thing.
That's not what you need. I mean, this is the same thing you get when you had 2011 when they lost to the Giants, right? Shitty defense, but nobody in the AFC is any good. So you end up in the AFC Championship game in a battle for your life against Baltimore Ravens, and an act of God puts you into the Super Bowl, right? So fucking, he misses that kick. You go to the Super Bowl, and you're like, all right, man, defense sucks, but I mean, you got a puncher's chance in the Super Bowl. Anything can happen. I mean,
yeah. I'm not gonna compare it to
the defense.
I'm not gonna compare it to 07 because once you get to the Super Bowl, then all bets are off. I mean, you know anything can happen in the Super Bowl, but going through those games, those are the times that you can take a loss at home against the Jets, and it's just like you walk away. You have a whole offseason
exactly.
to want to kill yourself.
Against the Jets, against the Ravens, or basically they should have lost. And before they went to the Giants second time, they should have lost that game, but Lee Evans choked it, right? So you have that scenario, but you can also...
Was that wide right or wide left?
Left. Wide left.
Yeah.
Fucking terrible. Terrible miss. They probably would have lost in overtime in that game because they couldn't stop anything. But that team, that defense was given up. If you remember, that defense had like a ridiculous streak of like a 45 yard pass touchdown like 6 weeks in a row. It was something insane. I mean, they had like Seattle on the road. Russell Wilson's rookie year, he throws a fucking bomb to win the game, like with 2 seconds left. And then it just started spiraling where they had like one after the other after the other after the other. And they ended up, I mean, Tavon Wilson was the starting safety that year, his rookie season. And he fucking never played again because he just basically wore out his welcome as a starting safety. He was so fucking bad and couldn't understand any of the routes, couldn't diagnose anything. And so I don't think it's that bad, but time will tell, I guess, how much this defense grows. I think they need a fucking huge bounce back week this week and to literally just impose their will on San Francisco on the road.
Yeah. Then it's just back to that same old Oh, it's a tomato can.
I don't care who they're playing. Patriots have a problem always with playing down to opponents. They never, I mean, ever since like 2007 and then here and there.
Unless they're really pissed off.
Yeah, here or there they blow out a team.
Yeah.
But fucking most of the time they play down to opponents. Like, I thought they played down to, I can't even think of one. I thought they played down to the Steelers this year till the end. You know, they started finally playing well. I mean, the Steelers shouldn't have been.
Backup quarterback.
Yeah, against a backup quarterback shouldn't have been that good. I mean, I thought they played down to them. I mean, they've done it a million times in the past. I mean, Cleveland's, you can think of it. Oakland, they beat like 2 years ago by because Vince Wilfork had an emergency, all of a sudden catches a deflection, you know. You get a lucky on that one. They play down to bad teams sometimes. So I'd like to see them come out there and just fucking blow them out of the water, defensively and offensively.
I mean,
would Jamie Collins have helped this team? Obviously, he would have. He's not coming back, but
Bill didn't think so.
Yeah, exactly. But identify a few areas where he would have helped. Immediately, he would have helped shut down CJ Procise. He wouldn't have had that game he had. He would have been spying. He would have been, first of all, Jamie Collins is the Russell Wilson spy from the Super Bowl, right? So he would have been watching him the whole time. And then covering the back out of the backfield. So he would have had a way easier time against Procise than Shane McClellan had. He would have looked better than Roberts in the middle of the fucking field trying to shut down that run up the gut, which was getting fucking 8 yards a pop, off tackle, 8 yards a pop, for a guy that never plays and then a guy that's going to get cut 2 days later. We're fucking running all over us with that, again, the bad offensive line. I mean, I just thought the adjustments in this game were just futile because I just don't think that there was anybody on this team that was winning a one-on-one battle. Can you think of any? I mean, on defense.
I didn't think Butler had a bad game.
No, Butler had a good game, I thought, too. Butler had a good game. I think Trey Flowers had a good game.
Yeah.
Again, but Butler was fucking... He was basically at the will of the rest of the defense because they're playing zone. I mean, in man to man, he's playing soft man to man, right? He's off the wide receiver 10 yards in some instances. I just hated the way that they played against those stacked receivers. They just could not figure it out. It was so simple. I mean, they were not switching off when these guys are crossing, and guys were wide open all game. It was, you know, they'd stack three receivers to the right, and then I don't know what they'd do. They'd supposed to be in zone, but then they'd think, it seemed like one of them thought they were in man, and the other two thought they were in zone, and then fucking Baldwin or whoever it was would just run right in front of where the linebacker should be and be wide open for 20 yards. There was just no communication. I think that's, all that stuff can be taught, and I just think it was a bad game coming out of a bye against a team that just wanted it more.
They're a hard offense to go against. It's tough when we're. I think they're definitely trying to figure out some things since they got rid of. Collins and. Chandler Jones, and it's just like those are two big players to try to like work without. I mean, they were playmakers, and that's what it was like. Game changers that could make one play that could change
a
game. And now who do we have that's
going to make
that
play?
Yeah.
There's
and
nobody
maybe
with
that. Hightower can make those plays sometimes.
Hightower and Ninkovich. Those are the guys with the clutch gene, right?
Yeah.
Ninkovich has shown he can do it. Hightower has shown he can do it. Butler's obviously shown he could do it. But who else is going to make a game-changing turnover? Because it's embarrassing to watch this team lose turnover battles weekly and still...
We have to start coming down with balls that...
50-50 like, balls.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, we'll... There'll be a play where we'll be like, well, that was a nice breakup, but we should have had a pick there or something like that.
Right.
We need to up our turnover. We need to get the ball more. We need to stop losing.
This is the defense that thrived on turnovers. Belichick's whole career in New England has been... opportunistic to take turnovers and win the turnover battle, don't turn the ball over and take the ball away.
How many picks or how many turnovers did we have this year?
Well, I'm gonna tell you right now. So let's start back in 2009. They this was again their worst season that I since Belichick took over as coach. They were number 9 in the league with a +6 differential. Right, they had 28 takeaways. Year after that, they the number one turnover team. Right. They have 38 takeaways, a +28 differential, which is ridiculous, right? That is almost double the second-place team, Pittsburgh Steelers. Still don't win the Super Bowl, so it doesn't matter, right? 2011, they're number 3, +17, another 34 takeaways. 2012, number 1 again, 25 turnover differential, 41 takeaways. 2013... What else? Where are they? 2013, this is the great Seahawks. They're number 8, +9, not great. Under 30 that year, 29. 2014, Super Bowl season. Number 2, +12, only 25 takeaways. So actually, not too far off, I guess. So the 2014, which was probably their best defense in 10 years, they only had 25 takeaways, but it was a +12. Then they don't turn it over as much. Last year, number 5, only 21 takeaways. I would have thought there was more. And this year so far, they're ranked fucking 13. They have 9 takeaways and 8 giveaways. So they're almost 50-50 takeaways, giveaways this season.
With one pick, we have 8 giveaways.
We have 8 giveaways, exactly. So you got 7 fumbles this year.
That's... I just can't...
I don't know. The fumbling, it's uncharacteristic mistakes by this team that you never expected them to do, yeah. Right? So they were always the team that was the most well-disciplined. I had a list here of what the fucking problems were. So, I mean, there was so many issues. I mean, there was miscues in the defense of doing their jobs, basically. Cyrus Jones just can't be trusted anymore. I honestly can't remember him taking the ball out of the end zone that it hasn't been a complete clusterfuck.
I want to get into that. Also, my two big pulls this year have been my source saying that Cyrus Jones is a loser.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be in the league. And I also said that we were going to give up a pick against Seattle.
#sources.
That wasn't a source. That was just.
No, I know.
That was just so great football knowledge from never stepping foot on the gridiron.
So he said Cyrus Jones is just a clusterfuck. Either trying to kneel on the 1 yard line or literally fumbling every single time he gets out of there. He made a good run back this week. Ran it back 50 yards. Immediately fumbles. Somebody gets on him. Fumbles. If Nate Ebner didn't play rugby, the ball would have been turned over again.
I leaned over to you right before that play, and I said, Cyrus Jones turns it around right here, because I was obviously intoxicated.
Yeah.
I tapped you. I said, Cyrus Jones makes a play here. He breaks it. What did he get to, like the 50?
I think he got to about the 50.
Or their 40, and then coughs it up.
Somebody fucking jumps on him. But don't worry. You don't run back kicks your entire career, so nobody's coming from behind. Fucking wake up.
Over under on how many words Bill has uttered to Cyrus Jones in the last month. Yeah. I'm guessing 3. I bet he doesn't even... I don't even think he acknowledges him.
I don't think he's going to be active for another few games. I don't think so. I can't imagine. There's nothing he can do well right now at this point. He's all in his head.
He was making big plays in practice. I mean, I don't practice care about player of the week. Nobody does.
We're talking about practice. Not a game. Practice. Other uncharacteristic issues in this game. The Brady Long interception. 0 pass rush. He's sitting back there for fucking what seemed like 8 seconds.
Well, I talked to Tom about that play. By talked to Tom, I listened to him give his Monday morning interview.
Right.
With WEI, and he said, you know, I just, that was on me, I just didn't get all of it.
He threw it short, everyone saw it. I mean, there was nobody else to throw to.
Players fuck up too.
Yeah, so there was another Brady's sneak fumble at the end of the game, another uncharacteristic mistake by the God.
Yeah, he also copped to that. And you know what I also love, that end of the game, he said, yeah, as players, we don't like to see those plays called. You know, we ran the play. It didn't work out. It's better that there was no flag called.
That's a winner.
That's a winner. He's just great. Not in this case. In this case, he lost. But
again, offsides penalties, false starts at home, unacceptable. Kill you, right? You're driving and fucking Gronk, which I feel like has been the third or fourth false start he's had this season. Yeah.
Did you see Bill take a five on that one?
No.
He's sitting in his spot in the sidelines, and he took his headphones down. Headphones off, and just he took a five, not a five, but.
He took a couple seconds to himself.
Took a few steps. Wonder
what the fuck was going
on.
He
was not happy with that.
Again, the Edelman fumble, absolute backbreaker. A tie game at that point. Early fourth quarter, driving. I mean, they had the big run back, Cyrus Jones, recovered their own fumble, saved themselves a little bit. Edelman gives it right back. Absolute killer. So there was just so many uncharacteristic mistakes that a Patriots team never makes that they are making this season. I don't know why they're not opportunistic enough to get these turnovers anymore, and that why they're fumbling at such a ridiculous rate. I know, Vince, I see in your eye you want to talk about deflated footballs. I'm not going to do it. Not going to bring it to this forum. Not going to allow it.
I don't want to talk about deflated footballs. I do want to talk about Jules. It seems that he's coughed up...
Jules.
How many? Is that three?
I don't know. I've lost count.
He shows flashes of him coming back. He didn't have a quick start, but it was normal. Brady wasn't playing.
Yeah, Brady looks more than anybody.
But now he's coughed up, I think, three. Yeah. And it's just unlike him.
He's fumbled a lot out of bounds, I'll say.
I think he needs to
stick him.
Switch up those red gloves. He's been using the same pair too long or something. I don't know.
He used to be so sure-handed. I mean, he would hold the ball, and it's a very weird thing that's happening with this team this year. So
his focus is elsewhere. He's trying to create literally the same exact brands in everything as Tom Brady. He's trying to bang the same like level of supermodel, have the same type of shoe, have the same... I mean, he's
logos.
With Uggs. Yeah. I mean, his... He's got the
endorsement of what are the other ones? The Emus. They're like the fucking knockoff Uggs.
No, he's with Uggs now.
I saw him in the commercial, but he doesn't have an endorsement by it. He was just his lackey.
I thought Uggs signed him.
He's
not rocking another slipper company and then being in Uggs commercial.
He doesn't
with Tom Brady.
Really have a slipper deal. I think he's just fucking in the commercial to help Tom like make fun of their relationship. You know what I mean? Like, they're not, that's not a real thing.
I don't know. I'm going to fact check you on that, Hillary.
Fact check.
I don't know. Well, another thing I want to, Tom's doing a lot of commercials. What is going on with that?
He had 4 weeks off. What was he going to do?
But, I mean, this is not, like, Tom's been around a while. How many commercials have you seen him in the last 15 years?
15, maybe.
I mean, charity commercials, maybe, but
yeah, just charity.
I mean,
but
he
does
everywhere.
He does UGG commercials that aren't. I mean, like, but they're never on TV, right? So there's UGG commercials, and then there's like
he has billboards.
So he does ads.
His glorious face.
All right, let's get off the fucking defense. I'm done with the defense, right? Let's move on to the offense.
Let's talk about good things. Enough
doom and gloom.
I'm running out of scotch. I want to pick up the pace.
Let the boys play. Let them play. My favorite sound. We got to play it just to get...
Let them play! Let the boys play!
That's right. Denzel. So anyway, I was thinking that the offense, right? They played probably one of their better games. It wasn't everywhere. It wasn't perfect. But they played their system. They ran the ball. They passed the ball. They did what they had to do. I was shocked, honestly, by the lack of utilization of James White. In this game, they won the Super Bowl on the backs of Shane Vereen and Julian Edelman crossers, right? So they ran 2-yard routes and broke a tackle. They didn't even think about doing that, really, right? So they had James White. What did he have, like 3 catches, short catch? And they weren't even out in the flat. Most of them were behind the line of scrimmage dump-offs, and he was running, for his life. It was shocking to me that they didn't utilize that more. Maybe Seattle was more prepared for it this time, But it seems to me they were taking a lot more deep shots down the field. Maybe they saw something in the defense, which obviously they hit a few. He did hit Edelman a few times deep that were great throws. He had that long pass to Gronk at the end of the game after he fucking broke his whatever he broke, his fucking
punctured lung
allegedly. Alleged punctured lung.
He's going to be out for a while.
You know it already.
We don't need him. We're playing San Francisco and the Jets the next 2 weeks. I just, like, why? Like, why mess with
it? I don't think he didn't puncture his lung, because how do you puncture a lung without breaking your ribs? Can you do that? Unless you're stabbed?
Yeah, you can do it.
You sure?
Yeah.
You were a nurse in the military, you don't know?
Yeah, you could do it.
Was it a bayonet? A bayonet, I mean,
the ribs can... Surprise how much those bad boys can bend.
Yeah. I wouldn't, because I'm not athletic enough to have to ever had any injury like that happen to me.
Oh, if I got hit that hard, I can't even imagine.
That was a big-time hit. And I'll respect Earl Thomas for aiming directly at Gronk's chest. Not that it's hard, because I think Earl Thomas is about 5'9", and Gronk's 7'7".
Dude, that is impressive to go at that guy's solar plex. Like.
And it's still fucking like he just like fell on his butt like Frankenstein, like Wood, or like Ivan Drago does. When he's like hit by Rocky, just falls on his ass. But again, Marty had his best game of the season. Even though he didn't get in the end zone, he was sneaking through that zone like nobody even knew who he was. This 6'7" tight end monster is just sneaking through. Like I said, he was going to have. You heard it here first on the Malcolm Go podcast.
Yeah, he put up good numbers for me.
I was telling all the fantasy boys out there to fucking put Marty Bennett on your team this week because he was going to light it up.
Yeah.
What do you have, 11 catches, 100 yards, fucking breaking tackles, beasting.
I went fan. I took him in FanDuel, and I still lost terribly because I'm on a cold streak. Like you wouldn't.
I was interested in your FanDuel. I suck at it, right? And you told me you do that 5 double-up. Tell me your strategy here on your FanDuel, because I stink and I can't. I don't think I've ever. I just donate money. Donate.
Might
as well be a charity.
My strategy on FanDuel is to play the little contest. You know, low risk. Low reward, play a team that's going to get safe picks, high ownership, who cares? Just get the 120, 115 points. It doesn't have to be anything crazy, but you could just play those $5 games and just double up, double up, double up, double up.
How many do you play?
You're not going to win. What did your friend win?
Like 20 grand.
Ugh. Yeah, I gave up on that because you literally have to pick CJ Procise to go off against the New England Patriots. You have to have low ownership players that are blowing up, and you have to hit them all. It's crazy. So I just I got bored with doing that. I built like a nice bankroll.
Built the bankroll up $5
games. Going $5 games. I put $100 in. I got up to like $250. Just doing $5 games.
Maybe we'll be up $250 by midnight.
Now I'm back to $150 because I started taking long shots because I'm really not sure I'm cut out for life in the workforce, and I just want to win a bunch of money so I don't have to work and I can just watch the Patriots.
Well, yeah, fucking throw a Hail Mary once in a while, see what happens.
Yeah, I threw too many Jay Cutlers.
I've really just decided that I'm going to get a bet against BC every week.
Oh my God.
So last week was the hot bet.
I'm going to bet for BC every week. They got a strike eventually.
No, they'll never hit. They'll never hit. Somebody hates FSU in Vegas because Florida State's at home in a night game last Friday, and they had, the first half line was Boston College, so it was -7 Florida State. So they or no, sorry, -6 for Florida State. So all they had to do was score a touchdown against Boston College in the first half and be up by a touchdown. It was like 35-0 at the end of the first half. Or they covered the entire cover. I forget what it was, like 28. They covered the whole thing in the first half. Fucking joke. And this week they're playing my Syracuse Orange, who have the quarterback. They're down to their second quarterback, like third wide receivers. They got nobody, and they're only 21-point favorites.
Are they playing in the dome?
They're playing in the dome, which means Florida State's going to run real fast because those muckrabbit guys down there, they like to fucking run.
I want to go to the dome again. Last time I was at the dome, didn't work out well for me.
Well, they're redoing it.
You got me too intoxicated, and I couldn't stick out the whole game.
They're doing it over, but right now they're having all the protests up there. All the baby boys are coming out for their Desitin. Mm. Get their Desitin on their hineys. I saw them all yelling today about Donald Trump. They were changing the world. 6 months ago, they were getting fingered at their prom. Now they're world beaters, changing the world. Anyway, back to football. Brady was good.
And that's talking politics.
Yeah, and we don't talk politics on the show. I was admonished on Reddit last week because somebody listened to our podcast and heard the name Donald Trump, and he was like, well, I didn't think we spoke politics on this forum. If I wanted to listen to morons, I'd go to r/...
I would go to Fox News.
No, it's r/TheDrumpf. I don't know what this... some John Oliver fucking follower that I have to listen to on Reddit. I was just trying to listen to my Patriots podcast.
I don't even think we talk much politics. Dom was probably here.
Well, Dom's been rejected. He's been removed from the podcast. He's too alt-right for us right now. He's way out there right now.
Yeah.
He's so alt-right.
Yeah. For all of our listeners, if you are following Dom on social media, please unfollow him. Because that is not a representation of how we feel here at Malcolm.
He's been admonished. He's been banished from the Malcolm Go podcast. I've gotten listenership through the roof now, but I was getting email after email saying, this kid can't be on there. I've seen him on Instagram. He's putting up racist posts, and I said, I don't think that's correct. He's not racist.
Then I looked at his Instagram post, and I was like, I know what he... I don't think he... You can't put that... You can't put certain stuff up.
Well, especially when you're unemployed and maybe you're looking to get back into the workforce. You don't want to start throwing up special photos.
I mean...
Certain photos that maybe don't blend well with, the financial world or the radio world or any world.
Or any world other than Hitler's vision.
Unless you were circa 1850. Yes, exactly.
I mean, there's been some concerns. I'm, going through a background investigation myself right now. I'm trying to get onto a police force.
Oh, concerns.
And just being on this
possible thing. White supremacist in the building.
So, yeah. If I'm not able to get a job, I'll hold Dom personally responsible.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody would feel bad for you. I mean, I had to ask him to remove...
I just need to blame somebody.
He's my son's godfather. I had to ask him to remove any photos off his Instagram.
Sonny Boy can't be...
I don't want him... The boy's got a good haircut.
Can't be in league.
Look at him. He's as Aryan as can be. He's an Italian Aryan. He's got pale white skin, bright blue eyes.
Sonny's bringing it right now. He's going to be picking up...
He's wearing his basketball jammies. And his little belly's sticking out. None of his clothes fit him anymore.
He's doing well at the playground, though.
Yeah, bitches love him. Back to football again. Brady was good. Seattle zone. He was prepared for it for 2 weeks. I mean, he didn't see anything special. They barely go to Sherman. I mean, I don't know why they're so afraid of this fucking guy. He can't go sideline to sideline.
He hasn't been. I don't think Sherman's been the same since what's his name left.
Browner.
Names. Yeah.
He's good,
he's good, but he's not like a shut down the side of the field like Deion.
They
is.
Say that, but I don't understand.
No, that's not
true. Every single time I see him, the only interceptions he's making is on fly routes. I don't see him covering fucking digs and all that shit. I mean, you cross him, I think he can be beat. I mean, don't run straight. That's it. Don't run straight against Richard Sherman. He's 6'4". Yeah. You're not going to throw over him. Goal line stand. Might as well talk about it. I understand the thinking, running down the clock. The Brady fumble hurt, but I mean, wasn't killing them. I watched the film. LeGarrette Blount missed a wide open hole, trying to fucking basically it was the exact same play they ran in the first quarter to score a touchdown. Right in between Solder and Thuney, I don't even know how to say his name.
I say Thuney. Some people say Thuney.
You say Thuney? I say Thuney. So anyway, he missed the hole. It was wide open. He tried to Bo Jackson it and go right over the top. Didn't work out. It gets the boys going.
It was just indicative of how the day was.
You're right.
I refuse to. I will not say anything. Right now, I'm not comfortable saying anything bad about LeGarrette Blount.
No, he has been.
I like his attitude. I like the way. I mean, he's been playing awesome.
His swagger is 100.
He's bringing it. I love LG. Love LG. God, I love Bennett. I don't care. I mean, I do care.
He's wacky.
How this season ends, I will be very sad if Bennett goes.
You can't.
I don't know if it's going to be a bad...
You're talking about a team now that has $70 million in cap space next year. $70 million. That's second only behind the Cleveland Browns. Yeah. And who do they have to lock up at this point?
Moneyball. It's
they have no... All they have to lock up now is Bennett and Hightower. Fuck else. Malcolm Butler, who's still got another year on his contract.
Bennett looks so good. I mean...
Does look good.
Not only is he look good...
Another playmaker.
He is buying in to
Patriots culture.
The Patriots culture. I mean,
buy a couple of his books and we'll fucking hey AJ.
Oh,
Saturday.
Dude, he's very active in the community. I'm gonna meet this guy. I'm getting a face to face with
Mark. Get him on the podcast.
He's at
I'm gonna text him tonight.
He's getting donuts down the street all the time.
Kane's Donuts loves it.
I mean,
I'll text him later. We'll go out for yogurt and I'll bring him over. We'll do a podcast.
Yeah, I'm not totally unsure we can't become best friends and then try to get in there and then maybe like get Tom Brady.
He's a black guy that I feel like, if it wasn't for his imposing size, I feel like we could be bros.
Yeah, I mean,
and him, his daughter, and we, like his, that, his that daughter goes, and my son are about the same age. Yeah, like they could hang.
That goes back to we'd have to scrub everything, Dominic.
He's never
had
to
do with the podcast.
He's already scrubbed. Want him off the podcast. We're not going to talk about him anymore. He's done. He's got a clean slate here on the Malcolm Go.
He'll be back. He'll be
no.
Let him play. Let the boys play.
So anyway, the whole series, the goal line seemed rushed to me. Throwing to Gronk, I don't think it was a bad play call, but I didn't. I mean, if he just fucking took a helmet to his fucking thorax, whatever the fuck his chest is called, why risk it? Just run the... I hate that I'm saying this right now.
No.
But you should have ran the ball on the goal line.
See, no.
I hate that I have to say that right now.
I disagree, because if we run it and it does go
on fourth,
in...
On
and
fourth
then we're
down.
Like,
throw that play on second down.
Oh, what it... And I was so sure it was going to happen, sitting in my seat.
Also,
I was like, Tom Brady throwing a play, completing a pass to like go to overtime. I thought we were going to see a great
win. We were 110% sure we had an overtime win coming after he caught that ball on the goal line.
And it's the same way I feel during every Patriots loss I've been to at Gillette. And it's just like, I've only been in tight losses at Gillette. And
it's the only time you've ever been tight, Vince.
I sit there in my seat and I go, something's going to happen because we're not losing this game. Like, I'm like halfway in the parking lot and I still don't think we lost. It did hurt.
We did sit there and wait for a couple seconds like, maybe he is going to throw that flag after an hour. And then, but whatever. You lose to a good team. But let's not pretend like it was the easiest game to win. I mean, Seattle didn't make mental mistakes, but they had unforced errors where Patriots could have easily been down two touchdowns or three touchdowns. I mean, Russell Wilson made a couple overthrows on third down by in the red zone or the red area. He made a couple overthrows that killed them, and they could have kept going. Fucking Pete Carroll going for two.
That was very stupid. I could not believe he did that.
A hot fire take. Is that he didn't think his defense could stop Patriots?
I don't know what he was thinking.
They couldn't, except for on the goal line. So that's the hot fire take right now, that he couldn't stop they couldn't stop Tom Brady, which they couldn't. So they're going to go and try and go up by 9 rather than be up by 8, and you know, try and risk it. So they're going to try to go up 2 scores with whatever 9 minutes left.
Are we ready to talk about this fucking?
Let's go. This fucking scumbags of the week.
This fucking guy talking shit about Patriots fans.
Go ahead. I'll go. You go first.
Only we talk shit about Patriots.
That's right. You don't.
Only I come on the Malcolm Go podcast and say 204 wasn't bringing it. I don't need Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll, truther, 9/11 truther of all things, comes in here to our house.
Hates freedom.
I did a couple tweet barrages at him. I don't think he blocked me, but he's definitely muted me.
Oh, that really, that really pisses me off.
He's definitely
muted
me. First of all,
Patriots fans were not bad Sunday night.
They're never in prime time. They're never bad. They're quiet, and I'm sick of fucking everyone. Thornton's doing it. Everybody's fucking getting on everybody's case. Listen, they weren't bad. The red seats are always terrible. If you get fucking club sections in any football stadium, they're going to suck, all right? They're going to be all financial fucking Goldman Sachs employees.
Oakland is Oakland. There are no red seats.
There's no club seats because the fucking stadium was built in 1960, and it's been nothing but animals coming in from the project since then with fucking spikes on their shoulders, right? So in New England, to pay for the stadium, they had these club seats. So now you got giant, big bank owned clubs and big boxes, and yeah, they go to see a football game and have fun with their friends. They don't care about the team. I care about the team. Section 204 cared about the team. We were fucking lit.
204 was fucking lit. Very happy with 204.
204 was lit. There was a female 12 in our section being berated, and I loved it.
Yeah.
And she didn't say a word, and I felt bad for her because she wasn't, she was a 12, like a puppy would be a 12. I don't know. Like you would dress up your puppy.
Nobody did anything disrespectful or anything like that, but they were great. We were hammering.
People were doing a little bit of hammering, and then she got the last laugh at the end, but she didn't care anyway. I don't think she didn't even know who was playing. She didn't know what sport it was. She just had the hat on. It was neon. Thought it was cute.
Watching the Seattle fans walk out of the parking lot was hilarious. They're like, yeah.
Just no. Woo. See, what time's your flight tomorrow? I don't even know their stupid accent. It's half Canadian, half California.
Weird it's country. Weird.
Well, we had a couple run in with the 12s where they came over and asked about our flag. So, what did flag mean?
Yeah.
It's just a flag.
Your hatred for the 12s is unbelievable. This chipper guy with.
Why? Like, come
this,
over to me.
Like, I can't even try to replicate this accent.
It is weird.
It is Canadian. It's Canadian. But. It's even more annoying somehow.
It's weird. It's such and a weird. This go guy, on my snow machine.
This guy walked over to, you know, mingle with the locals, and you
it was dark out. I was already fucking ready to. I was seeing blood in my eyes.
Basically, you were just like,
it's a flag,
dude. Get out of here. Leave. I hate you.
The only thing that saved him is that he wasn't wearing obnoxious clothing. He was wearing the gray Seahawks jersey and the gray Seahawks hat. So I was like, all right, if this guy came over here with that neon green bullshit, he was gonna get took, right? Yeah. He's about to get got.
I honestly felt a little bad for him because he was like walking over to like.
He asked me, so my flag said, it says you're in Patriots country, and then it's got the Patriots logo on it. So we're in Patriots country now, eh? I said, is that a question or a comment? I don't understand. What is that?
We don't use that word.
I said, around. So what is okay? And I try to make friendly conversations. So they're like, oh yeah, yeah. So you're from around here? He's like, no, we came in the week. We did all the the historic tours, and we went over. We were at Fenway yesterday. Saw a basketball game. I said what? Yeah, saw a basketball game with the Celtics, and then we went over to Fenway and did a tour. I said, all right, good. I'm glad for you. Beat it. I'm fucking ready to fucking stab you here.
I mean, it just, the guy was so nice, and I don't know. I see it as
don't
like,
be nice
I
to
still
me
see it
on
as,
fucking
I
game
still,
day.
I still see it as Seattle. Okay, they had a good year. They won a Super Bowl. They wanted to win too, and shut that down.
Well, Pete Carroll, fuck that guy. Okay?
Oh, I don't like cut Pete, you off. I don't like Pete Carroll.
I hate to cut you off, but what he said was, because we're just running out of time here, he says, you know, they weren't, I'm paraphrasing here, but they're not nuts. They didn't get nuts. I mean, our guys want it. Our guys want it. So I fucking, of course, went on a tweet barrage about how he's a 9/11 truther and that all their fans paint their face like the grown men shouldn't ever do. They should all be fucking just beaten to death. I wish I saw C-Hulk. If C-Hulk was at the game, he wouldn't have left. He wasn't leaving Gillette Stadium. He'd have been buried at the fucking 50.
I would have gone in the loony bin with you.
Yeah, no, he would have been on the 50. So first of all, like I said, you lose the... It's not Gillette Stadium. It's every fucking stadium, okay? Except for Seattle, which created this whole fucking thing in the last 5 years. It's not like they've been doing it since the Seahawks started, right? So this whole 12s fucking be loud thing has just started. Let's not pretend like it's a fucking tradition to be loud over there. They built a stadium with arches that keep the sound in, push it down. So don't fucking pretend like you're some fucking superstars, right? So then they got, you lose the blue collar aspect because you priced everybody out of the fucking stadium. So you're paying $117 for a ticket. So to go to a game, you're paying minimum by yourself $150, right? Times 8 games, $1,000, right? Not a lot of people afford that, not blue collar guys anymore, the people that fucking die for the team.
Seattle is not a blue collar town.
I didn't say it was a blue collar town. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, tweeted.
You're saying it is a blue collar town?
No, I said it isn't. I said you've lost all blue collar fans in every stadium. Philadelphia, New York Giants, New York Jets. There's no blue collar fans that go to a bar, get fucked up, and fist fight. There's nobody left.
I'd like to think that Philly fan, in my mind, Philly fans still do that. I love Philly fans.
Not like the '80s. Not like not like
murder was legal in Philadelphia.
Yeah, when they fucking threw D batteries at Michael Irvin. It's not the same.
I don't know. Don't take that away from me. Philly fans and Raider fans are blue collar.
I'll say East Coast fans.
Detroit fans are blue collar.
Specifically, Northeast fans, Philadelphia, New York Giants, New York Jets, Buffalo, you know, Pittsburgh, and New England fans. Those are real fucking fans. Washington too. I'll keep right. Yeah. Those are the teams where it matters. Sports matter to people. Okay, there's not a lot of shit going on up here. It's freezing cold all the time. Yeah. It's miserable most of the, you know, 60% of the year it's miserable. Everyone's fucking working in a coal mine in most places. They're fucking digging ditches, right? They want to enjoy the football team. So they're fans of the fucking team. They live and die with the team. The 12s are fans of the fucking 12s, okay? They're not fans of the fucking team.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what I've been
saying. I do agree with that. I just hate that the 12s, they think they're better than they are.
They got to dress up.
I've been outspoken about this. Patriot fans, it's a corporate crowd.
Every field is a corporate crowd.
Yeah, but there are some really diehard Patriot fans, just like there's everywhere. Some really diehard everywhere fans. But for fucking Pete Carroll to come out, 9/11 truther, to
9/11
come out,
truther Pete Carroll, and ex-Patriots coach who never coached in that stadium before because he got fired, thrown on his ass, all right? So he wanted to take a shot with fucking Salk, whatever, the guy Salk from Seattle, who was also a Patriot hater, who was born and raised, I believe, in Boston. Was a Patriots hater, does Seahawks radio out there. He wanted to fucking talk some shit, so that's what he does. So he got lit up on Twitter by @BradyDisciple, and he wouldn't come back and defend himself.
Probably hiding right now.
Probably scared. I mean, I was gonna go to USC next, but it wasn't. So I sent him a picture of the buildings going down on 9/11. He says, at Seattle Seahawks, your coach at Pete Carroll thinks this was a hoax because only the 12s could be that loud to knock down these buildings. I got a chuckle out of myself.
Angered me.
But anyway,
I don't know.
He wasn't the only one.
The one thing I'll say about Carroll is that he's a good coach, but he is a player's coach, and
you know what
players' coaches don't do? They don't win a lot of championships. Everybody likes him, but how many players?
Pretty
coaches,
soon they get stepped on.
How many players?
Just like he did in New England, he got stepped on.
Best coaches of all
Terry
time
Glenn
in any sport.
Stepped on him. Terry Glenn stepped all over him, okay? Bill Parcells had him almost under wraps, and then fucking Pete Carroll comes in and basically used, and Terry Glenn just used him. Didn't give a fuck what he said, did whatever he wanted, and, you know, ruined Pete Carroll's career here because of it.
Name best coach in every sport. Not one of them is a player coach. You got Bill Belichick, Phil Jackson. They're not players' coaches. I don't even count NBA coaches as coaches. They're dictators.
NBA coaches as coaches.
I count Phil Jackson. He's a dictator.
Is he? Because he did a guy just luck into Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal? Or can he just stand there? I invented the triangle offense where I give the best player the ball every time. Congratulations, Phil.
He controlled posses, which is racist, that's been in the news now.
So another scumbag of the week, Bart Scott. Classic Bart Scott. What have you done, Bart? Fuck it. Let the boys play.
I don't play. Let the boys play.
Bart Scott. He's been talking shit ever since he was in fucking Baltimore. So he says Belichick's outsmarting himself and the players are now noticing, so they're not going to play hard enough. They're not going to play for him anymore because Belichick's trading away talent and doesn't care about young players.
How many rings does Bart Scott have?
I think he got the one with Baltimore, maybe. He got one with Baltimore and he had the one big moment, the can't wait moment. And that's it. Now he's just fucking sits at a desk for his life. Well, Tom Brady's still playing, winning.
Yeah.
Burns his ass.
The thing is, like, as much as I hate him as a player, I kind of liked Bart Scott because I like the players that transition well after their playing career. And I kind of liked him, but he just talks too much shit. He's just too angry about getting beat by the Patriots too many times.
He's another LaDainian Tomlinson type. Yeah,
I can't take it anymore.
Rex Ryan had a super team of Patriots haters that he brought in from fucking all different teams, and they beat him once and still couldn't win the Super Bowl.
That was the best.
Suck
move.
A dick, all right? Go fuck your mother, Pete Carroll. Anyway, so they're playing San Francisco. Brady's playing in front of his hometown crowd for the first time in his career. Place where he grew up. Excited. I don't know. You're probably not going to get Gronkowski this week. His dad's not going to let him play, I'm sure.
It's fine. We got T-Rex.
We got, yeah. Martosaurus Rex going to come out, light it up. Defense needs a statement this week. Fucking statement. I can't even. They have to fucking embarrass Colin Kaepernick. I want Colin Kaepernick pulled in the third quarter.
Chris Long, super American, needs to have a big day. He needs to bury Colin Kaepernick and lay the flag on
Bill Belichick. Remembers what happened last year against Philadelphia. He did Belichick partly on himself with that fucking poodle kick that they did with Nate Ebner, if you remember, against Philadelphia when they were up, and fucking Philadelphia took that as a shot and decided to beat the Patriots and ruin the season. So you can bet that he's pumping that into the team this week.
Tom gets to go to his
hometown, fucking show up. He's going to show up. My prediction, 37-14, Brady lights it up this week. What do you got?
Million nothing. I'm not going to give a direct score. It's just going to be a blowout.
Blowout. Okay, I want to play one quick game before we go here. We're going to play two truths and a lie. Okay, you pick the lie, all right? So, the Pats have only thrown one interception this season. True or false?
That's true.
That's true. Jamie Collins leads the defense in interceptions and is currently playing on the Browns.
That's true.
That's true. That's true. Now, Cyrus Jones was born with no hands, only wrist, and somehow runs the ball out of the end zone every time anyway. Is that false or true?
I'm really not sure at this point. Yeah. Cyrus Jones has blown my mind, and I just don't know what to do with him anymore.
All right, so that's the false one.
Two truths and a false.
Yeah, so, all right, now you pick the false one this time. We won't do it one by one. All right, Gostkowski has missed 5 kicks this season. He missed 3 all of last season. Number 2, after 9 games, the Patriots had 27 sacks last year. This year they have 30. LeGarrette Blount is 2 touchdowns away from doubling his highest touchdown total in any season.
That's true.
So which one do you think is false?
Gostkowski missed more than 3 last year.
No, incorrect. Gostkowski, that is true. Gostkowski has missed 5 kicks a season, only missed 3 all of last year. No extra points and 3 field goals.
Gostkowski missed 3 kicks last year.
3 kicks. He's missed 5, which is 3 field goals and 2 extra points.
Dude. And he's been getting hammered. They've been talking about last year. I guess it was the end of last year when he missed a few kicks. Because he was money last year.
LeGarrette Blount has 12 touchdowns right now. He's only had his highest total ever was 7. And Patriots last year had 27 sacks at this point. This year they only have 16. So, anyway.
You talked a little fast for me. I feel like I would.
Whatever, Vince. Listen to the replay.
100% on
those.
The king in the north! The king in the north!
I don't know, Vince. Why'd I play that? Because I was getting bored at the end. So anyway, follow me at Brady Disciple.
He's still the king. That's why.
He is still the king. Follow me at Brady Disciple. Follow me at Malcolm GoPod. We're blowing up. I want to hear your interactions. Fucking get at me. Follow, listen to the podcast. Email me, malcolmgopodcast@gmail.com. We're looking for a third mic. Someone with fucking some talent because I can't keep doing this every week. I love Vince, and I'll talk to Vince every single week, but I need a third guy to come in here. You know, supplant. Vince got school. Vince got work. Vince is trying to be a policeman, and I need someone to
Carabas
come in here.
Carabas is just...
Yeah, barstool guys don't want to fucking play. They want to play ball with
I'm
a champion.
Starting to think it's strict orders from...
they don't want to come at...
From David.
Hey, you come at the king, you best not miss.
Yeah.
Believe that. So anyway, at Malcolm Go Pod, at Brady Disciple, send me some tweets, send me some information. We'll get you on the podcast. We'll have some fun. Anyway, let's go Pats. See you next week.
Go Sachem.
Do your job. All right, don't try to make too much out of it. Just do your job. 7-8 months ago, right? All for this moment. It's about honor. It's about respect. We
hands are ordered. Your family's ordered.
Stack receivers, two to the right. Russell Wilson extends the hands he has. Wilson, quick throw. And it's intercepted. Intercepted by Malcolm Butler. Butler has it at the one. Malcolm Butler.
And Warner goes back to throw. And here's the blitz by Mike Vrabel. The back. Snap ball down, kick up, kick is on the way, and it is good!
It's good! It's good! Adam Vinatieri booms a 48-yard field goal, and the game is over, and the Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The best team
of the league! Hey! Did it!
I love you, man.
Did it, bro. I love you. I love you.
You're the greatest quarterback in the world, man.
Hey, I love you, man.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.